Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, November 13, 2019. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 68, reading the first paragraph and commenting on that one paragraph only. It begins with, "We reviewed our fears thoroughly." Today's readers are Des M., Terry S., Penny L. C., Alice G., and Sandy W. Our newcomer greeter is Nan K., and we have some special announcements from Leslie W., so please stand by at the end of the meeting for those. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting for yesterday, November 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 13651. That's 13651. And the share ID for this morning, November 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 13657. That's 13657. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals through whose shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Des M. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, good morning. This is Des M. Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Elaine. Des M., recover compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Des M. And I'll now ask Terry S. to please read OA's 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to about 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted using star 1, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 68, reading and commenting on the first paragraph only. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Good morning. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is the Big Book. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even when we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. And what I realize is that I've coming from the readings ahead of this to understand fear, to understand what it does to diminish my life. And so it's something that's those unsalable goods, part of those unsalable goods that I need to try to be taking inventory of and cleared out. So it's my time for doing a fear inventory. And many of us are familiar with the inventory sheet. And that's the columns pretty much described in this paragraph. You know, being able to list my fears, why I have this fear, and then pointing out to myself, was it, you know, self-reliance? Was I relying on myself or was I relying on my higher power? And how well did that work? Being able to, you know, really ask myself why I have that fear. Drilling down on it, you know, trying to get underneath it. In my history, fear just stopped me in my tracks, and instead I would turn and run to the food. And so here I'm given a chance with the food down to be able to assess those fears. Have God show me, you know, by turning them over to God and praying to see where those fears are originating from. And in my self-reliance, I couldn't even do that. All I had to do was I kept trying to push them down and pretend that everything was okay. you know, I couldn't show fear, because otherwise I would just be more vulnerable than I felt I was. And I had no trust. So now that I'm developing trust in a higher power, I can trust that it's going to be okay to look at those fears, that my higher power is going to walk me through this process. And there is some discovery and uncovery and recovery to happen here. Fear has been, that scary thing in the closet that I didn't want to take out and look at. But through the support of the program, the structure of the step work that leads me step by step through it, and by trusting and relying on my higher power today, I can look at those fears. I can shine God's light on them and realize that they are not as powerful as I was giving them credit for. And being able to pray that fear prayer that we'll learn about further on, to have those fears removed and trusting that God will. You know, this is an amazing journey that is just steps away from that freedom that I can have from these fears.
Gentle reminding.
Thank you, Elaine. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, too, Penny. I'll see. Great start to an important paragraph to study. Who would like to comment on that first paragraph on page 68?
Jackie.
Jackie. Jackie H.
Freya H.
Freya H.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Anyone else? We got room.
Evan B.
Linda R.
Evan B. Linda R. And was that Jean Marie?
It was Jean Marie.
Okay. Now we got our six. So we'll take another lineup after we hear from Jackie H., Freya H., Jordan L., Evan B., Linda R., and Jean Marie G. I think I got everybody right. You can correct me if I didn't. So let's start out with Jackie H., followed by Freya H. Please go ahead, Jackie. Star one to unmute. Jackie H.? I thought.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It.
I'm sorry. Oh. I was just talking away. I am so sorry.
We hear you now.
Thank you. Thank you, Elaine. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. I wanted to start out with, I was at the Colorado conference last month, and one of the speakers said he only had one character defect, and that was fear. And it just really resonated with me, because it's underneath every single one of my resentments. The fear that I'm not going to get what I want, the fear that I'm going to lose something that I already have. And that just came to my mind. I wanted to share that because it was really helpful to me. It resonated with me. But I was riddled with fear. My whole entire life, fear ran me. I was afraid I was going to die. I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell after I got in church. I was afraid something was going to happen to my children. I was afraid I was going to weigh 300 pounds. I was afraid my marriage wasn't going to work. I just walked around like a fear monger. I mean, I was terrified of everything. And, you know, today, thank you, God, I have fears still come up, yes, but I have a way of dealing with them. And then when it says here, we asked ourselves why we had them, I did used to write down the whole story of why I had them. And that was helpful for a time for me. But today, why? And it says when we asked ourselves why we had them, that is the reason I have them is because I'm trusting in my finite self. And that's just kind of a black and white thing for me. And wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? And that's a step three. And that is because I'm not trusting in infinite God. And, you know, that takes time to develop that for me, it takes time for me to develop that trust muscle. And I played God a lot around this because I was so fearful that I thought I had to go ahead of everything, make sure everything was okay, make sure things were okay for my kids. Just a step, right? Step above. Or a step ahead of myself. And it was totally exhausting. And doing this fear inventory, I had a sponsor one time go through the line with me, and she would, and this has stuck in my head, and I say this to myself. If I really believed what I talk, you know, this big God talk that I do, if I really, really believed that, would I be fearful? And I had to sit with that, and I had to answer, no, I wouldn't be. So it really does boil down. It does boil down to me to trust in infinite God and trust that God has my back. Thank you. And the biggest thing, too, is that God has my kids' back, right? I don't have to get in there and play God. I get to go to bed at night and shut my eyes and go to sleep. Even in the turmoil, I have a couple of kids that are out in their disease, and I don't have to at nighttime go to bed and stay awake worried about that because they have a higher power and their higher power has their back just like he has my back. And I will
thank
close
you,
with that. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. So now we have Freya H., and she'll be followed by Jordan L. Please go ahead, Freya.
Good morning. This is Freya H., compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado. Thanks for the opportunity to share. I love the fear inventory because of its simplicity, and I'm amazed how much I get out of it when I just do it, you know. And the line that I have underlined in this paragraph is, wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? And that is so powerful to look at, really like looking at why and how self-reliance has failed. And for me, what that process looks like is, you know, when I become aware of the fear and pretty much every inventory that at the root of it, that I, you know, go through this process and I, you know, look at the fear, ask myself why I have it, and then pause and consider, you know, like, well, what, how has self-reliance failed me? Like to really look at the black and white of, you know, like I'm trying to, for example, I'm trying to, you know, I want to control my children and my family so that, you know, that we never make mistakes and nothing ever goes wrong and so that we'll be happy. You know, my end in view is that we'll just, you know, be happy, perfect little family. And I look at, well, how is that working? You know, how is that working or is that failing? And the reality is, oh, when I try to control everything, when I try to manage everything, it drives people away. You know, it prevents the close, intimate relationships that I'm seeking to create. And it makes me crazy because it turns me into, you know, I get full of resentment when people don't follow my script. And there's no room for God there so that I feel alone, I feel exhausted, and, you know, I feel like something is wrong with the world and myself and others. And so that, when I look at that process, I really see, oh, this failed. You know, when I try to do this with my own power, when I try to direct everything, it totally fails. And then going into, you know, and then when I really grasp how powerless I am and how my self-reliance, like this is the best that it's gotten me and that it's not working, then I'm really ready to let go of the fear and be willing to be shown a different way and be, you know, ask the question, okay, so if that's failed, you know, am I willing to trust infinite God rather than my finite self and to ask, you know, to be open to God, how would you have me be? And then rather than jumping in and trying to answer the question myself, leaving that space to, you know, to let God answer it. And usually the answer comes right in for me, just like, you know, it usually starts with peace, trust, relax, take it easy. You know, it's pretty much never do I get the direction to, you know, like muscle it through, try harder. So my higher power is just letting me, you know, like relax into this process, let it happen. And it's, you know, I love
this
process.
Reminder.
Thank you for being here. I will pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Freya H. Okay, Jordan L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Evan B. Please go ahead, Jordan.
Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Crested Butte, Colorado this morning. I'm grateful to be on the line. I listened to the earlier meeting, too, this morning. God, this is powerful stuff, man. that self-reliance had failed us. I grew up in a world where, like, it was all about self-reliance. That was the only thing you had, you know? It was all about that. Being independent and finding your own way and figuring it out for yourself and navigating through life that way. So it was really scary stuff to come in here and admit that it had failed me, because I thought it was the only way. like at that point, you start having an existential crisis, like, holy shit, how am I going to live my life from here on out, you know? So I'm really grateful that you guys kind of surrounded me, even with that hard shell that I came in here with, and introduced me to the God idea. And it wasn't just God. It wasn't just the God idea of like me being alone in a room, like praying and meditating and like, you know, like that's how I'm going to live this life. That's how I'm going to get through this life. Like you really surrounded me, you know, you prayed with me, you meditated with me. It was just my first introduction to a life led through interdependence with other people. That we're going to fail me for sure. Like I can't depend on just any one person. Human aid is I'm beyond human aid when I get here. I was very clear about the fact that I was beyond human aid. But you introduced me to this new way of life where I'm not alone in it. I have others to walk with me through this. And self-reliance isn't the only option anymore, you know? I really can start to be interdependent with this higher power and with you all. And even I'm even getting to the point now where I can, like, start to do it with people in the outside world.
Gentle reminder.
Insanity. I'll wrap it up. That's insane that I feel that safe in this life today. So thank you for the God of my understanding that cares for and protects me on the daily. That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Evan B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Linda R.
Thank you guys so much for your shares. My name is Evan B. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I love this passage. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, just fine, Evan. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. I'm still pretty new to A Vision for You and this program in general. I'm a little bit younger. I'm 28. I came to this program this year for the first time in April. I really resonate with this paragraph. The fear is always at the root for me, and fear of not being enough, and fear of being bored, fear of being lonely, fear of being alone. It just comes down to anything. And when I just, you know, get myself calmed down, you know, that fear can dissipate, and I just put those fears down, they can dissipate. You know, I'm a big time self-will reliance guy for sure. And I noticed that a lot of this stuff is a lot of delayed gratification. And if I can just wait it out and be patient, you know, patience is a big character defect of my lack of patience. So if I could just eliminate my fear and be patient, you know, I find that I can get so gratified because the benefit from this program I'm finding comes the morning of, the morning after. I don't know about anyone else, but for me personally, all the eating food monsters and the binge monsters come out at night for me before bed, you know, from around 5:30 until my head hits the pillow. And I notice that when I let go of my fear, I can wake up the next morning and I can feel good and love myself. And then I don't have to have fear about how the day is going to go or if I'm not going to be enough today because I don't feel good because I binged last night or anything like that, and therefore starting the cycle again. So, you know, I'm definitely struggling to stay abstinent these days. I'm probably, you know, I'm not like everyone else on the line. I'm struggling. But I'm doing my best to get back on track and start the program again turn it over to a higher power because I know that I can't rely on myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Evan B. Glad you're here. And Linda R., you're up next. And then we'll have Jean Marie G., and we'll take more shares after her on page 61, paragraph 1. Page 68, paragraph 1. Linda R., please go ahead.
Good morning. Hi, this is Linda R., recovered in South Florida. And thank you so much for your service and this wonderful meeting. So fear and self-reliance failed me. When I've done my fourth step inventory, I learned that when I have a resentment, the flip side is always fear. And when I don't deal with fear, repressed resentment is depression. So when I did my fourth step and I learned that one of my common manifestations was that I was afraid that I wasn't valued and respected or heard. And the biggest one is that I had to depend on myself. Like, I was alone, there's nobody there, I have to do everything, blah, 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 blah. So once I learned how to do the turnaround with the fear inventory, I always, you know, I had to say my fear and say, dear God, please remove my fear. And please, you know, what would you have me be and what would you have me do? And the part that was missing for many years was, what would you have me do? Because I knew what he wanted me to be, and I trusted him, but not 100%, because that's why, in my recovery, I always had difficulty with step three. I knew that I was, I believed in God, but I didn't trust God, and I didn't know how to turn it over. So when I did it the last time, and I've done it many times, I learned that not for people who need it, it's not for people who want it, it's for people who do it. So now, for me, this program of my action every day is to do the turnaround, and I could get right now, you know, because I'm very aware of my common manifestations when they trigger me, I'm able to immediately clear it with this inventory because I'm able to ask God immediately, dear God, what action do I need to take to clear this? And I keep it very simple. So it's usually having a kind and loving voice or having empathy and compassion for the situation, for myself, or for the other person that I'm having my fear crop up with. So anyway, what I'm trying to share is that it takes a lot of practice. I've been in the rooms my entire life. Thank God I've been abstinent long term. However, this part was a real clincher for me, and the only way that I really believe that God has helped me with it is the constant repetition of the issue that kept coming up until finally, I needed to do some kind of an action to clear it out with my higher power. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you for sharing, Linda R. And so we have Jean Marie G up next, and after that we'll take some more shares on the first paragraph on page 68. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. Please go ahead, Jean Marie.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. Thank you for service. This is Jean Marie G in San Francisco Bay Area. I'm a grateful, recovered, and always recovering compulsive overeater. Oh, I'm grateful to be on the line this morning. And I notice I have some fear about sharing, so it's pretty appropriate for this reading this morning. I think the biggest thing for me around fear is that I tend to believe my fears. And I remember when I came in program the first time around years ago, before I was cured, and I'm joking, I heard false expectations appearing real. And that's a lot of what happens for me around fear. I'll have a fear and I go, oh, it's true. And I treat it as if it's true. And I remember when I came into program this time around a couple of years ago, the very first week I went to a wedding and it was really challenging with food. And I went to any lengths to maintain my abstinence. And I called somebody right after the wedding because I bookended that. And I said, I'm so proud of myself. And she said, you know, that statement really concerns me. And I remember feeling crushed and going, well, can I be proud of myself? And I didn't really understand it at the time. And now having more time in the program where I'm working the steps or have worked the steps and I'm now going through a second time by my sponsor's choice, I now understand what that was about, was that I was relying on myself instead of relying on my higher power. And the first time I went through the steps, I really did a thorough fear or inventory, and I used the forms, and that was great. And then I completed my steps, and my sponsor said, you recovered. And we were doing stuff but not working the steps. And I said, you know, I really feel like I want to just go back around through the steps again, that it's so important to peel back the layer of the onion, as we talk about, and get to that deeper level. So I'm doing my inventory differently this time, and it's really having a deep effect on me. I'm going through the 12 by 12 and answering the questions this time around, and I really realize that I'm coming to some deeper fears as I answer these questions, that the free-form nature of that is helping me. So it isn't that one's better than the other. It's that they're coming at fear for me from a different angle. And the difference for me today in this part of my recovery, which I'm so grateful for, is it's not that fear comes up. Sometimes it's less, and I'm certainly leaning into God and my higher power, my spirit, spirit guides more, but that I recognize the fear now. I see the fear, and I feel the fear, and I can feel, I remember calling my sponsor and saying, I don't know what to do, and she said, well, it doesn't, God is calmness. And I said, oh, you're right. Thank you. God is calmness. And when there's calm, it's the opposite for me of fear. And that's God in my life and higher power. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you being there.
Thank you so much. Okay. Who would like to comment on that first paragraph on page 68?
Jen Z.
Jen, was that Jen Z?
Jen.
Carrie S.
Irene B. Carrie S. Irene B. Anyone else?
Kara L.
Kara L. Have room for one more.
Kathleen.
Margaret N.
Oh, Kathleen O. Margaret, I'm going to write you down, and if there's time, we'll include you too, okay?
Okay.
So thank you. I have Jen Z. Terry F, Green B, Kara L, Kathleen O, and if time, there'll be Margaret N as well. So if you're not Gen Z, please press star 1 to mute. And Gen Z, please go ahead.
Thanks. Hi, this is Gen Z from Kentucky. Thanks for letting me share. First, I want to say welcome to Evan B. and just say that, friend, you're not alone. I struggle daily, as I think many do on the line. You're definitely not alone. And I just want to say, I'm much like Jordan, who said that she grew up with self-reliance. It's what I learned. I couldn't rely on my parents or my siblings. And so that's what led me to battle for 30 years with this disease. I thought for sure I could lick it because I've licked everything else in my life, and why wouldn't I lick this? I battled for 30 years. And here's how it went for me throughout those 30 years. When I was on a diet, and I was actually adhering to the diet, I was self-righteous and prideful. When I eventually failed the diet and started binging again, I was shameful. Never, ever did I learn to live in humility. I had no idea how to even do that. It was either self-righteousness or shame. And I want to just bring, just talk about that last line. When it made us cocky, it was worse. And I found that to be true. When I was self-righteous and prideful, it was repelling to people. Pride is repelling to people. When I'm in shame, at least people feel like they can engage with me and maybe try to help me, because there's a little bit of honesty and humility in there, and that I'm powerless in my shame. When I'm prideful, it's an absolute lie. It's given the illusion that I'm not powerless. So when I was in, and what happened was I finally got to the point where I realized I couldn't do this anymore, and I finally just was honest with a friend with all of my struggles. Guess what? My marriage is hard. My parenting is hard. My house is a mess. I don't feed my kids organic food all the time and three balanced meals all the time, and I was honest with her about that. And you know what happened? She was honest with me too. She became vulnerable too, and we bonded on that. So humility is very bonding. Self-righteousness and pride is very repelling. And that's what I've learned, and that's actually helped me to be very honest and helped me to live in humility, because I do want to bond with people, and I believe that's the way to do it, is to be in humility and be vulnerable with people and just share your truth with them, not from a self-righteous or shameful part, but in humility. And that's what I'd like to share. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you very, very much, Jen Z. Terry F., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Irene B. Do I want to unmute, Terry?
Hi,
Terry.
Sorry about that. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, and I love this section of the big book, and fear is my major character defect. Though if you looked at me externally, my friends and family would say, well, you're fearless. You've traveled the world with a backpack. You have moved. You have put yourself through college, blah, blah, blah. But what they don't realize is the fear that I have is fear of intimacy. The fear I have is that you might actually see me. And if the persona is out in the forefront of the self-reliant Terry, I can hide behind that. And I'm not doing that so much anymore. With OA, the steps, and my higher power, I'm turning to that higher power much more frequently. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm finding that doing the step 10s and getting that transformation of those character defects, what I have discovered is I really only have one character defect, and that's fear. And I heard someone say that the other day, and I thought, oh boy, that resonates with me. So I am just so grateful and happily abstinent, which is another miracle of my higher power. That's not Terry. I'm really grateful to be sharing on the line this morning, and welcome to the newcomers. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry S. Irene D., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Kara L.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Fear, yeah. Fear is what rules everything in my life. And I have been abstinent for 31 months. And it took a friend to point out that I was full of fear for me to realize that I was full of fear. And this is only in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And how crazy is that? I feel so fortunate that I finally have a deeper insight as to the root cause of my eating disorder, the root cause of my emotional and spiritual disturbance. It's all about fear, which has to do with self-reliance, with willpower, self-will. Not relying on God, relying on myself being afraid. And I don't know myself well enough to know if fear is the only character defect that I have. But let me tell you something. This program is revealing so much to me that I wouldn't be surprised if one day I would look at myself and say, fear is a single character defect that I have. Fear feeds all of my character defects. Fear of abandonment, of inadequacy, of worthlessness, fear of rejection, you know, that fear of the future, fear of everything, which causes us to act in ways that are not productive. So I'm just very thankful that I don't have to rely on self, that if I can just learn to trust my dear God to protect me and to know that he's taking care of everything and to know that he is in control, I am not. I don't have to fear something to control it because I don't get to control. God gets to control. And I'm thankful to understand that my fears are rooted in self-reliance and that there is a solution. Just trust, hope, and have faith in God. And that if he's not going to give you that which you need, he's going to give you the power to get you through the situation, whatever the situation is going to be. You'll get through it. I've gotten through many, many things in life.
Gentle
and
reminder.
And with that, I pass. Thank you so much. And thank you, God, that you're with me always. I pass.
Thank you so much, Irene B. Kara L., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Kathleen L. Please go ahead, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to everybody who is doing service on the meeting and bringing the meeting to us today. And also, you know, thank you for everyone who called in today because I need to hear from you. You are all part of my recovery. Wasn't it because self-reliance had failed us? And I, too, I totally identify with being raised with that idea that if I just worked hard enough and I relied on self, then everything would be fine. If things weren't fine, it's because I didn't work hard enough. There's a lot of I statements in there, right? And I find when I'm in fear, because I'm in self. And I heard on this meeting, and I really identify with, you know, self-reliance being that battery that I have. And it's going to get me so far. And then at some point, I'm going to run out of energy. I'm going to run out of juice for that battery. And I have to plug in. I have to plug into something to get power, right? Just like my phone, I have to plug it into the wall. Well, I have to plug into my higher power because that's my problem, is absence of power, right? Lack of power. And when I do that, the fears go away, right? When I write that fear inventory and I realize where I've been in self, and I asked for guidance from my higher power, I asked for inspiration, intuitive thought, or a decision, guess what? It just happens. And I don't know how it happens. And I'm comforted because I know that it's not up to me. Today, I know that it's just not up to me. You know, I do the footwork. I identify where I'm in self. I work with others. And I do the best I can as a human being every day. And I rely everything on my higher power. Everything. Should I have yogurt or milk with my cereal this morning? Should I, you know, like, I practice asking my higher power's opinion all the time. Because I think that my higher power works a really good program and will not give me an opinion unless I ask. And so I have to ask. And even this morning, writing out of fear inventory, I heard, ask me, come to me for everything. It is not I that leaves you, it is you that leaves me. And so every day I work to find my higher power and not leave. to ask for freedom from self, you know, and to be and bring God's light into this world. How can I do that every day? So thank you all. Have a good day. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. And we have time for two and a half minute shares. Kathleen O, if you'd like to go next, you're up.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. And fear is that evil and corroding thread. And when I tie that with self-reliance, I just have a life. I had a life full of, you know, misery and pain. And these steps are so amazing because they got me out of that. They helped me get out of it if I ever fall back into it. And, you know, instead of relying on myself and being in fear, I now can look around and see how I can be helpful. Where can I help someone? You know, what kind things can I say to people that might make their day a little better? So, you know, most of my fears were tied up in resentments, but the ones that were not tied up in resentments that really did run my life a lot were a couple. One, my mother had Alzheimer's, and so I was constantly in fear that, oh, what am I going to do if I get that? And, oh, it's going to be horrible, and yada, yada, yada. And the other one was I had this fear that, you know, someone was going to come in the house at night and kill me. And I don't know where that fear came from, but excuse me. But hold on one second. Sorry, my voice is not working this morning. So, you know, basically being able to do this fear inventory, and the bottom line for me is I will be safe and protected as long as I stay connected to my higher power. And so those fears have gone away. And if I think of them or they come up, they're gone very, very quickly. It's like, you know, I put my life in my higher power's hands, and if I do my best, I believe, you know, the best will happen. And if I get challenges, you know, I'll deal with them when they happen. So I want to leave time for Margaret. And with that, I pass, and I hope to see you at the convention.
Thanks so much, Kathleen O. Look forward to seeing you there as well. Margaret N., we do have time for you. Please go ahead. Star one to unmute. Margaret N. Final call, Margaret N. We've got about 2 minutes if somebody wants to take it.
Oh, I'm unmuted now. Oh,
all right, great, Margaret. Please go ahead. Please go ahead. Thank you.
This is, oh my gosh, I did about 6 star ones. I don't know why. Anyhow, this is Margaret N. in Loomis, California, Northern California. And it is my first time sharing. I want to thank everyone for their service to make this, that makes this meeting a reality. And I just have come to the awareness that fear is at the base of every negative emotion that I feel. And negative emotions have the ripple effect of negative actions and then negative responses from others. It's a vicious cycle. And I used to think, when I did my first fourth step, I used to think of myself as this walnut, where this just big, beautiful walnut shell, mahogany colored, beautiful. And when you crack it open, you expect this huge walnut in it. But instead, if it was me, you'd crack it open and all you would see is those two withered husks. And I just had no sense of my God-given gifts at all. I was a perfectionist and a people pleaser. And in perfectionism, I was very careful to let people know I wasn't a perfectionist, because then that wouldn't be perfect. And it was absolutely crazy making. And so the peace I'm finding through this program, and I'm so glad I've stuck it out. It's just, I thank God every day, and I see God in my, in so many places, and in my fellows, and in my family, and in my safe people, people who I know truly love me, warts and all. So I think that's it, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Margaret, and glad you were able to share today. And thank you, everyone who's read and shared today. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. We will stay on the line after the recording ends to greet newcomers and have some announcements. So will Alice G. please read A Vision for You.
Good morning, everyone. Alice G. recovered in Wisconsin. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.